Of course, I cough right after hitting the record button. Such is the way. Such is the way. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pony Development Sync for February 15th, 2022. Joe, our usual host, is unavailable today. So I, Sean, will be hosting. I'm going to have folks go around and introduce themselves so that anybody who's listening along later can hopefully recognize voices. Ryan, could you introduce yourself?
I'm Ryan Hagenson.
Gordon.
Hi, I'm Gord Tischer.
Red.
Hi, I'm Red.
Christopher.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Ah, okay. I'll remember that for the future. Borja.
Hello, I'm Borja.
Jason, please introduce yourself. I don't know if Jason has a mic right now or not. Well, oh, there you are. There you are. Okay, a little quiet, but we can hear you. All right. So the agenda for today, which is packed with many, many things, is in the sync channel. Sorry, the sync topic. The sync channel. Sync stream. Okay, it's going to be that kind of day. Sync stream in Zulip. I'm going to run through a couple things pretty quickly. RFC 198, remove logger package from standard library. It went into final comment period last week. There's been nothing, no comments on that. So I'm going to move that to ready to vote. If there's anybody who would like to vote in favor or against this RFC at this time, and you're not going to be here next week, please do weigh in on that RFC. We also have RFC number 197, add Pony Check to standard library. Exact same thing as the last one applies. So if you have any comments, you want to weigh in for being in favor of it, please go ahead and do that. Lastly, we have the change standard library pattern for object capabilities. Once again, same thing. There were no comments during the final comment period period of time. I'm putting it on ready to vote. And folks can will vote on it next week. Let's see. So we got those through those pretty quickly there. All right. We also have one more. Let's see to cover here in the RFC repo. And I'm going to skip the other three. There's been some additional activity on the make iterator classes private at this point in time. Been no particular additional activity, just some conversation. If anybody wants to check that out, that's RFC 193, and it's definitely been rolling along for a while. With those out of the way, I want to jump over to the Pony C repo, where we have a bunch of PRs and issues stacked up there. Our first PR is 4012, add two while else tests. This is waiting approval. It's from me. It adds a couple of tests to validate that while and particular while else works as expected. I noticed that there was a general lack of coverage around that when I was touching some other stuff. Folks who are committers on this call, if you could have a quick look, and ideally if somebody can go thumbs up on that, we could merge it now. It's a pretty straightforward one. Oh. Gordon, you just approved. Thank you. Thank you very much. I will squash and merge that then. All right. Next up, we have PR 4011 on PODC. Also for me, this is fixed incorrect field, not initialized error with try else. It has an example of the one that would hear, the error that it closes and with which is issue 3283 is what it closes. If there's anybody who feels particularly comfortable enough with the compiler, who feels like they can give this a quick skim and approve it, all the tests are passing. Otherwise, we can leave it, and hopefully somebody who feels comfortable enough will be able to check it out soon enough. It's a fairly small contained change that would be easy to do. Is there anybody on here who feels comfortable enough to give it a quick review now, or is this something that we want to push off? Does anybody feel comfortable doing a quick review?
Well, not a review, but I wanted to ask a question that you mentioned in the PR. So you mentioned that for try, we didn't introduce a new scope. Do you know the reason why that is?
Yes, yes, I do. It took me a while to understand. So if you look in the update to refer.c here, right, in the PR, do you see the last bit where it does an addition on 17 line 1700 consolidate branches on the then clause, right?
Yeah.
So the reason why there's no scope on try is because of the existence of then, okay? Where effectively what we should be doing, and we weren't doing it with everything, is that we try, we push all of the info down. So it ends up basically in the then, if it exists, right? And that's where all of the scope stuff actually gets inherited from. It doesn't get pulled up to the top level try. It's the then is going to be run one way or another for how we gen the code, right? And so what actually happens when it's doing analysis for related to scope and everything is that everything gets moved into that then scope for later verification and analysis. And that happens here in the refer pass.
Right. So you're saying that before this PR, we just weren't pushing the scope into the then?
Well, is the big thing that you can see here is that that for the body and else clauses, if they didn't jump away, then for the body, then the then clause should be inheriting those branches, right? Which moves them in there. And then you take all of those branches and you consolidate them together. And what that does basically is symbols that were in the other branches are now in the then branch, right? Which at which point, once they're in the then branch, and the symbols are defined there in that, our check for whether the field is initialized or not, which happens in the verify, will correctly pass. Something similar happens with while, repeat, and if, except instead of pushing things into the then, it's all pulled up into the scope of the if, the while, or the repeat. But try doesn't have it because it needs to push it down into the then, which is its own scope.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it looks good, but I'll refer the PR to maybe Joe that I think has more expertise in the compiler.
All righty. If that is the case, then unless anybody has anything to discuss with 4009, we would be in a similar scenario because it is a fix for the same problem, but in this case with while else code for correctly initializing stuff, right? It comes with a number of tests to cover everything for And yeah, if you take a look at that one, for example, Borja, just to carry on the conversation we have the other, in 4009, yep. right? You look in the mm-hmm. refer pass, you can see, again, the fix was basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. We need to inherit a couple branches, but in this case, the scope for this AST, which is in this case the while, inherits the body branch. It also mm-hmm. inherits the else branch, and then we can consolidate whatever our branch count was, which was probably zero, one, or two in this case, and we consolidate those up into the into what's the AST at this time, which is the while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can take a look at how we were doing it for the if else, and if it looks yep. the same, then I'm okay with merging it.
You can crack it open, take a look at it. I think you'll feel comfortable with seeing what's going on there. The try was the trickiest, just because mm-hmm. it's because of the then, and it works a little differently, and it took me. I had to figure out why there was no scope first, because mm-hmm. if you try to do the same thing that while and repeat and if do, then it won't work, because the AST that you're actually working on at the time, the try, is not a scope, therefore it doesn't have a symbol table, you get a failure. So I had to spend a bit of time figuring out how that was supposed to work, but I got that.
Okay. And for this one, for 4009, what's mm-hmm. the reason that you removed that comment on top? Is it because it's incorrect, or?
Which comment on top?
And so in the refer.c, I see that you remove a comment on top of the if.
It's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's not correct. You can define things inside the body of a while loop.
Okay. Right.
It's just the old while code. I mm-hmm. have no idea how. I didn't look to see how old it was from, but it is nonsensical. It was apparently accounting for something, but there's no test that failed for it. It is. When I looked at it, I could not understand from the comments, nor that anything other than those came across as gibberish to me for how it should mm-hmm. work. There probably was something in the ancient past where maybe those comments made sense.
Okay, then sounds fine.
Yeah. But they were nonsensical gibberish at this point. Mm-hmm. We have 4006 as well. All right. This is a similar one. This is to take exhaustive match into account when checking for field initialization. This one is a bit more complicated in that we needed to add a new pass in order to make this work. So for Borja or anybody else, would you like me to run through the reasoning behind that, or otherwise we can just skip it over and leave it, and Joe or somebody who's more comfortable with the compiler could check it out later.
Yeah, so I read the PR. I think it was clear to me the reason why.
Okay. If there's anybody who has any questions about it, you got a moment while I go to the next one. Yep. So if there are any of those you feel comfortable with, Borja, after this proving, go for it. All right.
Sure.
4005 in PonyC. This is fixed compiler crash related to using tuples as a generic constraint. This was it's been an issue that's been around for a little while, but not super long. This is a fairly easy fix. In general, the problem here was that normally if you were to try to use a tuple directly as a generic constraint, you would get an error stating that tuples can't be used as constraints. However, due to the passes for that test is done before the flatten, was done, so that you could actually smuggle a tuple in as a as a type, as in a type union, and then it would blow up later on. And this fixes that so that we do not allow a constraint to be a tuple type. So we actually, basically break it apart and look at it, unsmuggle it. There's some tests there that prove that it fixes everything. If anybody feels comfortable with that, then that's great. Merge it. Otherwise, if you want to leave it till later.
Yeah, I'll merge it. One thing is that you talk about type union, but for me, I would call this a type alias instead, I don't understand your.
Oh, that's a good point. Type alias. No. Aliases aren't flat. I'm updating there. Let me update the, let me do two other quick things there for her. All right. While we're here, I will update those in the release notes and the commit comment. All right.
Okay.
And that will be good.
So does this still work now that you mentioned type unions? You define an alias with a union type such that one of them is a tuple? I guess it still works, right?
I don't have a test for that. It's possible that you might be able to smuggle one in there, in which case we could end up fixing that as well. I only fixed the very specific issue that had been opened.
Yeah, I'm okay with merging it like this, and then maybe we can add the other thing later if you want.
Alias and alias. Okay. All right, pushed with a four. All right, pushed. Okay. And we have, let's see, we have 4001, which I'm waiting to get verification from Eric that he's happy with the tests that were added. Let's see, we have 3991, which I can take the discussit sync label off. Waiting for a bit from Matthias on that, some release notes and an issue to be created. So next would be a big honking one, which is primarily all done by Jason with a little bit to finish it off by me. 3953 band variables whose capability is, I could have sworn I corrected the spelling of capability there. Before, whose capability is unsound to alias. Jason, you took those last little bits. We're good to merge this now, right? You think it's good? I think it's good. Awesome. All right. This one is getting merged.
Anything we need to do for release notes?
I think
I don't think those are in there yet.
Wait, did I not add? No, there's a commit from me from today that says add release notes.
Oh, thank you.
I added release. How about that? Yeah, I said I was going to bring it home and I brought it home.
Farewell, escape hatch. Now I actually have to learn how refcaps work.
Hey, don't worry. There's still more bugs out there if you look for them.
Yeah. Compat. That's how you spell compatibility. Okay, there we go. All right. Apparently it's not, but it's too late. Sorry. Oh, well, all right, that's good. So my plan with this one, because this is a big, bad bug, is I'm going to let this run through at least one round of it makes it into a nightly, and then we run all of our standard Pony Lang libraries and everything that we have under the Pony Lang org against that. I assume that there will be nothing that suddenly starts crashing out of nowhere, Jason. And if that's the case, then this will go ahead and get released as soon as possible, as the issue that it closes is one that was labeled triggers release. So we try to get those out as soon as possible, close the bad hole. So basically soundness holes or things that can cause the runtime to crash are ones that we do for that. All right, so we have a bunch of stuff which we could, that we're there for, like Joe or Borja is going to take a look at some of those as well. Let's see, we're at 23 past, normally at about half past. We open this up and first ask if there's anything that anybody would like to cover. So before we go into the some of the many issues that we have here, is there anything that anybody would like to bring up during the sync with the larger group?
I did just push that RFC to add the ANSI escape codes.
Oh, cool. Awesome. In that case, that would, it will definitely be discussed at sync next time. And for anybody who's on here, if you could, if you're interested, if you could take a look at that RFC. It's to add additional ANSI escape codes to the term package in the standard library. I asked Christopher to open the RFC purely on the basis of, as far as I know, it should be completely fine to add particular codes. But I suspect from looking at the wiki page that there might be some that are more esoteric, that people may or may not be like, oh, this might be problematic because of X, where people might have some type of idea on that. So I just wanted to run it through there, as I am not particularly knowledgeable. Chris, I suspect there's going to be few to no comments on that one, and it'll basically glide through. But there could be somebody who knows a lot about ANSI codes who might weigh in the meantime. But otherwise, you know, a couple weeks from now, that would be good to go. If you want to, you could, you could have a PR ready to go for when it's accepted, you know, under the idea that this is likely to not be controversial, except for maybe a code here or there, you know?
Okay. The only question I had about that is the how we test this section. I couldn't find any existing tests, so I was kind of like, I don't know what to do with that. If I do find tests, then I'll test them the same way as the existing ones, but otherwise.
So I would say a reasonable thing to do for the RFC for that is to say there's currently no tests around this. While not ideal, you know, I feel, you know, that these could be added without any additional any additional problems. I mean, it's basically, it's like, it's, hey, we're going to return this code, right? I mean, there's not a lot.
Was essentially what I said, is that I couldn't find any existing tests, and most of them is just directly returning the string of an escape code.
Yeah, so I don't, for something like that, I wouldn't see the point to a, to test. It's, you know, So I will definitely check that out sometime in the next couple of days. Anyone else have anything? All right then. Let's see. We have on the PonyC repo, we have issue 4013. This is a intermittent Apple Darwin CI failure. I've now seen this two or three times in the last week on various runs, which, however, there have been an awful lot of things that have been run, so that's not that common, but it's also not that uncommon. Gordon, this might interest you, is it looks like a potential process monitor thing, which is could be cross-platform, seeing how we were talking about Windows and process monitor. And maybe we have a little bit in the process monitor in general. Maybe this is only Apple, maybe it's in the Windows, but you know, something for one of us to look into and see what's going on there. I don't know. Anybody has any comments on this one? Otherwise, we can move on to another and drop the discuss thing here. I'll drop that. This does look like it would be a good way for somebody to get started. So if anybody wants to try and debug that, then by all means, please do. Let's see, 4010 is, Gordon, this is similar to an issue that you opened at some point in the past with Try, where basically, if you look at it right now for the, with repeat, and the same thing would apply with the while code once for field initialization once that's done. In the example that's here, it initializes underscore S in the repeat block and then does a break. So this would be guaranteed to be initialized, but we're not currently with the code that actually the type of code that I walked through with Borja earlier. We're not doing it enough analysis to recognize that S would be initialized before it jumps away. We just see that there is a jump away during the repeat, and therefore it doesn't count as this having been initialized. So for repeat, try, while, and if, this is all something that we could theoretically do. I happened to open this one for repeat when I was looking at it. This would be, you need a little bit of knowledge in order to try tackling this. If anybody wants to give it a go, let me know. It's definitely not a easy without any help one, but it is one that we could do. We have on Pony C, we have issue 4008, investigate failing CI debug tests. There was a conversation in Zulip between Gordon and myself and Matthias, where the Windows Pony C debug tests in the runner tests seem to be hanging every now and then, timing out and failing them. But they pass everywhere else. So we turned that off and created an issue for this. Gordon, so anything to expand upon from the conversation that was in Zulip for this so far that we might want to go over? Process monitor, Corral, any additional thoughts here?
So, yeah, I mean, it's like super intermittent, and it's always the kind of thing that you're like, did that really happen? I've observed a couple things with process monitor on Windows. Sometimes you get duplicate messages when the process completes or errors out. That's one thing.
That would be what we were seeing in some of the that's what we're seeing in those pony up failures probably.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
And then also we're not getting all the standard input and standard output from the child process, which I think is also an issue in the pony up failures, because Corral is saying it exited with -1, but we should then be seeing some standard error or something. Hmm. So yeah, those are the two problems which I have noticed, but I haven't been able to sort of pin them down systematically.
Could we get a -1? Do we have timeouts on these from Corral? Could we be getting a -1 where it's a timeout and then there is no message? Is that a thing that exists in Corral? That would be something to consider as well on the -1.
Yeah, I don't know.
I really thought we had everything within the Windows stuff for shutting down the pipe early, right? So that we would lose any standard input or standard out address.
Yeah.
I would be somewhat surprised if that turned out to be why we're getting negative one and no output, right? And I certainly wouldn't expect to see it with no output every single time. And every night we're seeing the same thing with Pony up three nights in a row. So that's only three, but still from when we were losing stuff before on that, it was, you know, it felt much more random. So I hear what you say. I would keep an open mind on what might be going on with that for leave the possibility of other things there. But so yeah, it seems like all of the Windows failures that we're seeing are Corral and process monitor related, right? Going back to even the stuff when we were seeing some weirdness with like that net, it was either net SSL or crypto change, right? Those are all things that use Corral, yes?
Yes, I believe so, yeah. Yes.
All of them except for these ones in the Pony C repo, but that's a process. That's the runners using a process monitor there, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, I have a number of things I'm working on right now, but if I have, you know, some spare time at any point, I'll also try to look to see what there could be with the process monitor and maybe that intermittent failure that we're getting from the process monitor test on Darwin. That might also provide us a hint, right? Because that test is specifically failing with dispose being called when it shouldn't. If that maybe is happening on Windows as well, who knows? That might explain some stuff as well.
Another possibility is it might be calling the primitive unreachable, which would cause Pony to exit immediately. And then stuff sent to standard M to not get, sorry, standard error to not be sent, in theory, possible. But you then have the fprintf for the going out to standard error. Never mind.
Yeah, we should have that. Yeah
as long as the, yeah, because the Pony OS standard error does give the right answer under Windows as well, right? So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Sorry. Thinking aloud.
No. Thinking aloud. Thinking aloud also does stuff. So I'm gonna. Yes.
No, I got bitten by that bug when I was writing my own code, and I was screaming as to why I wasn't getting output every 10th execution, and it was because I was exiting like that. So.
Yeah. Without a message though, you were exiting without a message.
Yeah. So what I was, when I finished showing the display from the help from the options module, which of course went out via standard out via the actor, I immediately called the exit after that. And on some executions, it wouldn't display and some it would. And then I realized what I was doing and I sent myself into the corner to never do it again. Okay, I think I confused things. We should just move on.
No. I'm just typing the comment for you. Assistance is appreciated. Let's see. Issue 3997. Sorry, I had to finish one thing off. Compiler error does not provide location of error when crossing package boundaries. I So what is this? Oh.
So this one is related to FFI, like only to FFI. I don't think it applies to other things.
Well, wait, so you have directory A use an interface in directory B. Interface in directory B makes an FFI. Wait, what? Hold on.
I can give you the background. I'm not sure if it is FFI specific, but basically.
I see the problem here. You got FFI in an interface or a trait, right?
Yes, which and is then in the interface
of the trait. No, so this is probably the same issue as 2150, which is that when you have uses inside if you have a use in a file where there's a interface or a trait, which then uses that whatever was used in the in a default method, right? When that default method is copied over, it's only copying over this thing directly. It's not bringing along the use, and so that doesn't work. So I'm pretty sure this is a variation on 2150, which amusingly enough, I've been working on fixing, and I'm currently stuck on something and need Joe is, when he has time, is going to be trying to help some, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, so I think one difference between these two is that we actually might not be interested in bringing over FFI declarations. So there are some advantages to having them packaged local is that they might clash otherwise. Like if you have a local FFI declaration for the same function, you might want different types.
You can't do that, I don't believe. You can do it on a pack. Well, you could do it on a package basis, but you can't do it on a. These are two different packages, Red. Yeah.
Well, they're two different directories.
That's a package. Yeah.
Yes.
Stop right there. Okay, they're two different packages. Okay. So, well, I mean, Borja. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it won't work. I mean, in the sense.
Yeah, that I understand.
It has to bring. So what Joe and I are working on is it brings the it needs to bring the symbol mm-hmm. information basically along with it, right? When mm-hmm. it brings it in, and then it should work. I think this should be fixed. It's possible that for FFI-ness, that when we fix the other, that it could lead to some issues we're going to have to figure out with FFI. Mm-hmm. With that, because FFI's use rules are a little different, right? But yeah, I think that the core of this should be fixed by 2150.
Mm-hmm. My worry is though, is if in your fix this now compiles, that's going to break a whole bunch of other stuff.
Because this is a bug?
No. So what the bug that I raised was that I wanted it to explain why the compilation error, not that I thought that it should compile. I do not.
This should compile. This is okay. A bug. As far as I'm concerned, at minimum, you're exhibiting 2150 here. There could be FFI specific stuff to it, but you're exhibiting it. You have brought over a default method, right? And it has, it's using something which is defined within the scope of that package, and that information wasn't brought along with it so that it's failing.
Okay. So fixing that and bringing that over is going to stop the only way that we currently have an FFI of having different return types for the same C function.
No, that's not true. You just can't use it in default. You can't use them in default implementations. If you do not put the usage in a default implementation, it won't happen.
Okay. All right.
All right. But there are some issues related to that. But this is very, very specifically, if you were to take all of these, if you were to take the usage of these out of that interface, you would not run into this.
Okay.
So for example, if you were to take interface G object interface, right? And you were to, in the same package where that interface is defined, if you were to create a primitive that had each of these calls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you, and in here, right? In here, you could call the primitive, right? From this, the primitive is going to be what's going to be pulled along, right? The primitive will be pulled along, not the FFI.
Okay.
Right? It needs to know the name of the primitive. That's all it needs to know is the name of the primitive. This, by the way, is fundamentally the same bug, Borja, as I believe it's 3737, right? Yes, look, I've been working on it so much. 3737, which was, Ryan, you raised this on Zulip on March 31, 2021. Aliasing a package import doesn't apply to default method implementations. This is the same bug. It's a variation on the same bug. And yep, sure. Working on fixing those.
You are scaring me with these ticket recalls.
I know it's 3737 because I've been working on it in the last couple of days. That's how I know.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say that if we fix this, then we might need to think about how to do this FFI thing.
Yep. It could blow up some potential things for FFI if you're using that FFI in the default method, right? Then it could be problematic. We might have something that happens there.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll get that when we get it fixed, I think.
Yeah. So we can find out when that's done if that gets blown up.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. All right, let's see, got 15 more minutes. Issue 3987. The help string for pony suspend threshold says that there's a maximum. And the only way that there's a maximum on this is that you can put any value that you want to, and it might cause, it's then used in multiplication to turn milliseconds into nanoseconds, and it could wrap around, but there's no actual max here that's enforced. Does anybody have, it's not even nanos, it turns it into ticks. I'm not really sure what, if anything, we want to do with this. I kind of feel like the simplest thing to do right now is to remove the max from the help string and just go with it. We're not changing the functionality as it is. We're just moving the incorrect information from the help string. And if we could consider looking at something further. Thoughts? Folks who are here.
Yeah, I don't know if originally there was supposed to be a maximum, or do you think it makes sense to cap this value somehow? Then,
so the funky thing about this is it's attempting to back into ticks. Okay.
Yeah.
But the number of ticks that happen during a given millisecond period of time, right? Mm-hmm. is going to change as clock speeds go up, right? So when we put 1,000 now, okay, let's say that we actually said this is capped at 1,000 milliseconds. It's actually using ticks, not milliseconds, which is reasonable because milliseconds would actually end up being an expensive calculation to do if it, you know, if it ends up in a hot path, which this does for scheduler threads, whereas ticks is inexpensive. So if we say it's 1,000 now, with how it's multiplying in order to get the final ticks, 1,000 in the future might wrap around. Like, so putting a max, and we could put a max on it, but that max is still any time that the thing that we're multiplying by, which in theory we should really be revisiting every so often, this value of the number of ticks that we've decided happens during a, you know, during a millisecond, which probably hasn't been revisited in 5 years. And well, fortunately, clock speeds haven't been going up by that much, so it's probably still reasonably accurate. This is a really tricky one to actually even get right for whatever it is that we would do, which is why at the moment I'm in favor of saying we just remove the max from the help. And
well, I think at least we would want to prevent like wrong usage, like if we detect overflow or something like that.
You won't get a stack overflow. You'll get a wraparound, right?
Right.
And
is it insane or
is it is maybe it what?
Like the actual value, is it unsigned or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it says it's a U64.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
so
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe instead of specifically saying a number of milliseconds, just say that however many ticks, this is how many millions of ticks that's going to allow idle before it gets suspended, and then have some text that gets updated every once in a while saying approximately how much that is.
That sounds reasonable to me. It's a bit long for a help string, but it still sounds reasonable to me. What do folks think?
Yeah, I think that sounds fine, because otherwise, well, I don't know if you could get confused by seeing that, like, yeah, it's not actually milliseconds, but it's something approximate.
Yep. Chris, that was a great one. Can you leave that comment on the issue, and then whoever picks it up could go ahead and have it fit with what you said?
Okay.
I'm going to call this an enhancement because it's not really a bug. And I'm going to add a good first issue and help wanted as well. And then once you leave your comment, Chris, just let me know and I will remove the discuss during sync. I don't want to remove that right now because when you leave your comment, it'll just re-tag it.
Okay.
Right. Let's see. 3856 compiler crash during flatten next. Right. So there's a workaround PR for this that we're waiting on. So there's nothing per se here on this. So in general, we added flatten next. And what Matthias found is that the lambda is not being fulfilled, is not being reified properly. It still has a generic, has some generic type info in there where it really shouldn't. And there's a corresponding PR for this 3999, which is supposed to be exactly the same, where it's using it's not using a lambda, but it's semantically the same in theory. So we have at least a bug in the reification for the promise that's here. This particular issue would be closed by 3991. But before 3991 gets merged, I've asked Matthias to open a issue specifically about the what he found with the existing code, with the incorrect reification, and or at least the reification that wasn't would be completed after we need it to be completed. so that we could have an issue open for that and investigate it with information on how to update it. So I'm going to take help wanted, discussed during sync, and needs an investigation off of this, and we'll have the issue for the further one. Does anybody have anything to say on this one, or shall we move on to the next? I'll take that as move on to the next. Let's see. 3759. Borja, it's one of yours. So this is with blocks with no else clause are desugared incorrectly, is the name of the issue. I've looked at this extensively. I've spent more time really than I should have on trying to figure out a way to make the existing sugaring to a try work, right? Mm-hmm. Without doing a bunch of extra jumping around with try. And there's not really a good way to do that. Your idea for copying the body over actually leads to some subtle issues elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. For the else. In general, I cannot find a way to make this work with the existing try sugar. I've spent, unfortunately, at this point, probably more time trying to think of a way to make that work than it would to do what I'm planning on doing, which is to not desugar with to a try, but instead have with become a first class object, right? And yeah. in the process of that, the else will go away. So what you would do is, if you want to handle errors, you can put it in a try just like you normally would, right? Do normal try expression type stuff and everything there. The only reason why with has an else currently is to be able to handle errors when it desugars to a try. There's no actual reason, if you look at with without the sugaring there, for this to happen. This is also why there are all of those funky, as you pointed out, weird errors where it's talking about like errors with the try for this, right? Because in the end, this is one of those cases where the functionality and the sugaring doesn't match very well. We had this with case methods before, which were removed like 2 to 3 years ago because they were being desugared to matches, and it was leading to weird edge cases and also like just really confusing errors for folks. In the case of this one, Borja, I'm planning on actually elevating with to a first class one where if there's an error inside the block, if there's an error or something that would, or anything that would cause us to jump away, right? We will first run the dispose on the item from the clause, right? From the with clause, and then let the jumping away or error or whatever else it is propagate on out. I discussed that with Joe. It was his idea when I explained my ridiculous idea for how to try and make it work with sugaring. And then he was like, yeah, that's just wrong. It shouldn't, why is there even an else for this? And I didn't quite give up on it yet. And it was this morning when I realized that I had solved all of the problems except for one, which was being able to have return something as an expression, and realized that I could not square all of the things, despite having spent a decent amount of time trying. So.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think we discussed this in Sulik before that. Yeah, probably the probable outcome would be to make with a first class thing.
I
agree.
And what I do feel kind of silly about is the amount of time that I spent trying to make it work with try is less time than it would have taken me to just implement that right off the bat. So
Never learn.
But I, if you might have noticed from all of these PRs and everything that I've been fixing lots of compiler related issues. And this is entirely, and this will be the last thing we discuss before the end here. We're not going to do any other things from the agenda. But if you go into the PonyC issues, right, and you go to the oldest open issue, which is 267, that's an old one there. I've been slowly working my way through compiler issues, fixing compiler issues so that I learn enough stuff so that I will feel comfortable tackling 267, which I know from talking to Joe and Sylvan is actually somewhat complicated. And that is to allow finite recursive type aliases.
Nice. Yeah.
I've been doing all of these compiler ones to learn enough to be able to tackle 267.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yes. All right. And with that, we've reached the end of what we're going to get to for the agenda for today. Nicely, you know, the others will continue to live on because they're still tagged, and we can touch whatever we need to next week. So thanks, everyone, for attending, and we'll see you next time.